thank you, choir and soloists, today for the beautiful messages in song. As our children, we've got some coming from the balcony, as our children go to children's church, if you would take your Bibles and turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, reading verses 11 through 18. For while we live, we are always being given up to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be made visible in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. But just as we have the same spirit of faith that is in accordance with Scripture, I believed and so I spoke, we also believe and so we speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will bring us with you into his presence. Yes, everything is for your sake, so that grace, as it extends to more and more people, may increase thanksgiving for the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure. Because we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. Have you ever found yourself in a place or a position where you hope that nobody asked your opinion on something? I think probably most of us, even politicians, at some point in time have been in that kind of place where we hoped nobody asked us what we thought. Perhaps the discussion was a political one, and we really did not want to express our opinion because someone else might feel differently, or perhaps we didn't feel well prepared enough. What is more likely, however, is that the discussion was about religion, or a hot button topic with religious overtones. A lot of times we shy away from getting in those kinds of discussions. Even sometimes we shy away from them when we're in Sunday school or in worship. We hope that no one will ask us. If the teacher in the Sunday school class raises a question, how many times do you find people's eyes looking down to see if their shoes are tied, even though they're wearing loafers? Perhaps you have thought, I sure hope nobody asks, but what do you believe about? And then you fill in the blank. We all have those topics. But especially when it comes to religion. Maybe we try to hide in a corner when the discussions arise. Why do we feel this way? Do we lose heart? Are we unsure? We have probably all felt some trepidation in our lives when it comes to these kinds of questions, not just the discussions themselves. We're afraid of ridicule, or maybe we're afraid of being branded as a heretic. However, we have ample examples of commands in the Scripture for us to speak our belief. And today's text is one of those. In this chapter, Paul is dealing with the weakness of his ministry. That is, weakness if it is his alone. Many of us would think, Paul, weak? Paul has a lot of opinions on a lot of things. And sometimes Paul can push our buttons. But Paul had also found frustration. He had experienced it as he attempted to do things, oftentimes from his own strength, which proved to be a weakness in himself and in his ministry. So even Paul experienced some of the same things that we do. There is so much that Paul wants to accomplish, but in his human frailty, he sometimes messes up and says the wrong thing. So you see, if someone who we respect as much as we often do Paul can feel that way and mess up, but still speak, should we not do likewise? Paul even faced the possibility of death on more than one occasion because of what he said about what he believed. If anyone should have been afraid to speak up in a religious or political situation, it should have been Paul. Yet, he came to understand that as a Christian, he will find himself in hostile situations. In fact, sometimes I tell folks that I think Paul was dragged to so many prisons for speaking out that he started finding the nearest street corner to the prison so they didn't have to drag him quite as far. You know, it's rough on the heels when you're being dragged across the dirt and the stones. But he also knew that sharing, even when it might not be popular, was a part of sharing in the life of Jesus. As a matter of fact, Paul is willing to endure any possible difficulties for the sake of the one who suffered persecution and who suffered death for Paul's sake and for our sakes. In fact, Paul's suffering reminded him of the earthly suffering of Jesus, who was not just his Savior, but was his Lord. Many times we are more than happy to accept Jesus as Savior, but we're not so sure about the Lordship part. And while we may vocalize, "Jesus is my Savior and Lord," kind of whispering that off to the side, "and Lord," we're really not so sure that when Jesus demands that we stand up and speak, that that's what we want to do. Yet Jesus himself experienced suffering, experienced ridicule, even experienced death for you and for me. Paul recognized, though, that the suffering and the ridicule that he sometimes experienced when he spoke about his belief is not so that Paul can be admired as a martyr, but rather so that Christ's life will be seen in everything that he does. And it is for the good of others that Jesus gave his life. And it is for the good of others that one suffers for Christ, so that the gospel will be a blessing to others. That's what he means when he speaks of we are dying. We're being lifted up to death every day as we speak. He's not just speaking of the fact that from the time we reach a certain age, doctors tell us that our bodies begin to decay. Now we begin moving closer and closer to death. But he is speaking of the opportunity to kill off self-interest for the sake of the gospel and others. For Jesus gave up self-interest for Paul and for you and for me. Of course, we do know there are some people in history who have welcomed the role of the martyr. Much of the time, though, these are not seeking martyrdom for the sake of others, but rather to draw attention to themselves or their particular cause. But when Paul speaks of being martyrs, and remember the word we said before for martyr, martyrios, means witness. When he speaks of being martyrs, he is talking about the life that one lives from the experience of deliverance by God. And he says it's a part of the Christian's daily living. If we believe, it means that we must speak. If we believe, it means that we must speak. Paul knew deliverance by God. And he returns to the foundation on which his faith rests when he is writing to the Corinthian church in this particular passage. God acted in power and raised Jesus from the dead, which gives the assurance not only of resurrection for Paul, but more so the assurance of the presence of God with him in all circumstances. Great faith is involved when one tries to remain steady in the face of persecution or in the face of fear of being asked your opinion and what you believe. Even in these difficulties, Paul says that we are to speak boldly the Christian gospel that we know and believe. Paul even quotes here from the psalmist in 116:10, "I believed, and so I spoke." And he finds assurance in that, for he knows that God continued to protect the psalmist. And with that same confidence, Paul declares the fact that we too believe, and so we speak. He understands it's not simply enough to believe, and believe only in our hearts, and silently go about our business. Our business as Christians is to speak our conviction in God's activity in Jesus. And notice that he does not use the past tense like the psalmist does. He says, the psalmist said, "I believed, and so I spoke." But Paul uses the present tense, recognizing that God's salvation and God's presence with us is not something that is one time in the past, but it is a daily occurrence. We believe, and so we speak. When we believe, truly believe, and then speak, we can find confidence in the fellowship of faith, a fellowship which makes the good news available to anyone who may believe. And we have the foundation for this confidence and this confident speech in knowing what God has promised to do and experiencing God's grace. Is there anybody in here who has not experienced the grace of God in recent days? Only in the past. I didn't see any hands go up. The grace is given to us daily in our present condition, regardless of what that is. And this should give us confidence as we believe in God's grace and God's good news in the gospel. And that grace is given to others also through our speaking by word and works. We are to be vessels of God's grace as we believe and as we speak. All that we do in growing the church, both numerically and spiritually, results in thanksgiving to God and to God's glory. This kind of growth increases in us even though we are mere mortals. As our bodies slowly die, the energies expended in speaking God's good news and His glory become transformed into more spirituality, a closer spirit with God and with each other, as the spirit expands into fuller and deeper meanings and understandings. We all know that our individual physical strength eventually runs down and runs out. I hope that perhaps some of you got an extra hour's charge on your batteries last evening. Some, I'm sure, woke up early. Getting that rest in and your body's clock still waking you. But we do know that our energies eventually run down and run out physically. And sometimes we expend that energy and it runs down in self-indulgence or in vain efforts for ourselves. But if we dedicate our energies to God and God's purposes, the Spirit is renewed in Christ-likeness. And that is what Paul is indicating here. That even in spite of what he may attempt to do on his own, if he believes in God's presence and speaks of that presence, then his afflictions, his sufferings, the tiring things in life, those things which are real and can sometimes be overwhelming, become transient. The eternal weight of glory will far outweigh the suffering, the tiredness, the days when we wonder, how can I take another step? He speaks of that eternal weight of glory, and one way to translate this is to speak of the fullness of God's glory. That's one of the other meanings of the word. Fullness, that is completeness, wholeness. The idea of weight here also carries another image, one in which all of the suffering is placed on one side of the scale, and the fullness of God is placed on the other side of the scale, and the weight of God's glory will far outweigh the trials, the sufferings, the times when we want to go hide in the corner. This image coincides with Paul speaking about the things that are unseen by human eyes, but experienced in the soul. That's what he means when he talks about we see the unseen things. Our human eyes look around and overlook, but the eyes of the soul can see much deeper and experience all that God has. These unseen eternal things gave him power not just to endure suffering, but to master it and to speak even through it. The unseen things include all of the realities of faith, Christian fellowship, and life in the Spirit of God. Sorrow and affliction is part of a transient world, but the unseen things of the Spirit do not change or end, and the life that is given through them is life everlasting. I'm sure that we all find great comfort and inspiration to carry on in difficult situations from these words that Paul utters, from thoughts that are experienced through others' words, a kind word, a quick note, a touch. Many concentrate on the everlasting nature of the unseen things and speak of the glory of God, often with bravado and a tingle in the spine. And sometimes that brings a tingle. But the real challenge of this passage, and I think the real challenge of Christianity as a whole, is not only to believe and speak when things are going our way and when there is glory. Rather, the real challenge and the real depth of believing, knowing, and speaking is to speak clearly and deeply, even in the middle of our distress. for this speech, what we feel and speak when times are not full of glory, shows what we really believe. Shows what we really believe. Do you believe? Then speak and let it be known. May we pray? Heavenly Father, sometimes we are afraid to speak up. Sometimes we are afraid to speak up and tell of your good news, even in the middle of our despair, even in the middle of our Christian brothers and sisters. Sometimes maybe we're not sure what to say. We know deep down inside that we believe, but we're unsure. Help us, like Paul, to have the confidence at work, at school, even in church, to speak our belief in you, to share what we know to be true of your presence in our lives, to help others to find the glory of God, the fullness and wholeness of your presence, not just when things are going well, but even in the middle of everyday living. For it is there where we truly show what we believe and where we speak the loudest. It's in the name of Jesus the Christ that we pray. Amen. Our hymn of decision is hymn number 347, I Surrender All. As we do give ourselves over to God for God's leadership, may we truly be able to not only believe, but to feel confident in speaking the good news that God does take us wholly and freely and make us far more than we are by ourselves. As we sing, our altar is open for any who would make a profession of faith in Jesus as not just Savior, but also Lord. For any who would care to unite with our fellowship. For those who would recommit themselves to not just believing, but to speaking. Hymn number 347, I Surrender All.